Friday, May 7th, was another day loaded with beautification. In the morning, I worked some with Ashton before 11:30 plane to New York with Liz. Lunching on the way to save every moment was shopping in New York.
Shopping
for once inside the Carlisle was fruitful, efficient, and fun. Bess, in her smooth, quiet way, had gone up ahead of me and had some clothes brought in. And also the designer, Molly Parnas, who'd made clothes for Mrs. Eisenhower. I bought the first thing I put on, a summery, peach-colored brocade dress and coat, a 6 o'clock dress that was just right for the salute to spring this very night. In a great hurry, Miss Parnas arranged to have the hem shortened, to lend me some of her shoes, if I couldn't get mine dyed or buy some, and to give me a purse. I found two other after-six dresses, the great gap in my wardrobe. One, an elegant white for fall, the sort of a thing that I would leave to the Smithsonian and be proud of. And a very feminine dress for the Korean dinner. Then I got down to the business of the day. Anna Rosenberg Hoffman, Lyndon's friend from the war days, who was co-chairman of the Salute to Spring, and the mayor, came at 4 to fetch me. And we went out in the gray and drizzling rain to see Mary Lasker's flowers on Park Avenue, the tulips and the azaleas. We stopped at 67th and Park, under umbrellas with the dripping newsmen, and again at Rockefeller Plaza. Such a beautiful display of azaleas just changed for me that morning, they tell me, when the Easter lilies were just about spent. And then on to the Plaza Hotel for the Fifth Avenue merchants combined to keep up the displays of tulips. A three-seasonal change to begonias and chrysanthemums. Not too bad. They've had it for 8 years, the Salute to Spring, and never rain on the day before. But at least we ought to take it with good grace, because it had been dry, and scarcity of water forced a city ordinance to prevent watering. Mary, whose brainchild all of this is in Europe with Dee Dee Blair, having, Anna said, 2 wonderful but tiring weeks going to a round of parties. Naturally, it was disappointing, but you make these engagements ahead of time, and then when the day comes, prepared as best you can be, go ahead with a smile and don't let the chairman know if you're disappointed. So it was with the ceremony that was scheduled to be in front of the New York Public Library where the big lions are. The street had been roped off for several blocks. They'd had 10,000 people in past years. It was a beautifully decorated stage, the Armed Services Color Guard, a band, Carol Channing from Hello Dolly, Sammy Davis from Golden Boy, the Radio City Music Hall Ballet, quite a group from the Metropolitan Opera, including Risa Stevens, John Fiorita, and Janet Pavick, to give some star-studded entertainment before my small part. Alas, it had to be canceled. Rain fell in torrents until shortly before time for the show, so it was moved inside to the library into cramped quarters and a telescope ceremony where Carol Channing gave him some amusing chatter, Sammy Davis a small salute to beautification in general. And Anna was the woman we really listened to. Then the mayor presented me with the city's Gold Medal of Honor. It's usually given to only visiting chiefs of state, and none of them were ever as impressed as I to get it. My speech was just to congratulate New York on setting an example and leading the way, but saying, don't rest on your laurels. And there was a real piece of news from the mayor that he had called a Gracie Mansion Conference on Beautification, similar to the White House Conference, involving business leaders, landscape designers, garden clubbers, recreation people, all of the facets it touches. And then the business of the day was over. Smiles and autographs and handshakes as we made our way through the little group, 300 or 400, in the library lobby and steps, and out to our cars and to the gay business of the evening, a party at Anna Rosenberg Hoffman's. What a beautiful house it was. Right on the river, in the heart of New York, with a big garden, shared by about other 15 other families, I think. A jewel of a house on 4 or 5 floors. Salvador Dali watercolors. Fujita. There were about 24 of us there. Jean and Bob Kintner. The Ed Weisels. Andre Myers. Anna told me that he had been a very substantial contributor to the fortunes of the Democratic Party. And a real admirer of Lyndon's. The Lawrence Rockefellers. Mark Child. There are some evenings that deserve the title of brilliant. This one was. I sat next to Mr. Hoffman. I had never known him well before. They were leaving for Africa the next morning, and he talked about the economy of Africa, the development of the continent. He spoke of a sort of a poll he'd taken among businessmen, government leaders, people who know what's going on in the 2 dozen or more countries of that continent. He'd ask them, one, what percentage of the resources of the country did they think were being utilized at present? Second, what percentage of the human resources, the brains of the people, were being utilized at present? The answer to the first was 20%. The answer to the second was 10%. Well, that means that could sure be a busy continent for the next few decades in the development of goods and people. What a nice life for Anna. They're both so smart, give so much to living, and love it. Between them, they have about 24 grandchildren. Anna has only one, Mr. Hoffman all the rest. I had good talks with Lawrence Rockefeller about all of our current enthusiasms. The conference, Watts Branch Parkway, the trip to Virginia. With Eddie, the very French, hard to understand but very interesting, André Meyer, who is one of the White House's greatest benefactors, gave the Houdon bust, though it's supposed to be absolutely secret, the rug in the Red Room. Anna and Eddie Weisel are concerned about Bobby Kennedy, thinking the bridge between him and Lyndon is uncrossable, his hostility deep and unbending toward Lyndon and toward Mayor Wagner also. Anna is a fighter, a good person to have on your side, an intellectual with a heart. There were toasts, a very nice one about me from Anna. I liked it because she used the word useful. I want very much to be. And for once, I was satisfied with myself. Because I felt it, I could make a really good toast about our host and hostess. We left the fabulous city at midnight, got into deserted Dulles, and reached the White House about 2. I thought back on the day and its riches, its unfulfilled potential, but who could help the rain, and especially about an invitation I'd given over the phone to Mr. Joseph Hirshhorn to come and have lunch with me at the White House on the 21st. He has a vast private collection of sculpture, and a good many paintings. Roger Stevens said more than 24 Aikens, and Ruth Carter Johnson said some Mary Cassatts. Dylan Ripley hopes that he is going to give it to the Smithsonian. Roger Stevens says that it is almost settled that he will, and that it will be comparable to the Mellon gift to the government in the early 30s, an event of great significance in the art world, and if it should happen, a laurel for the administration. He was delightful over the telephone. We'd met when I'd gone up for the dinner at the Metropolitan Art Museum. He told me also what I didn't know, that he was an admirer of Lyndon's and was working on the Presidential Club dinner to be held late in May. When I crawled into bed, I was sleepless. I couldn't bear to go in and maybe wake Lyndon up at 2 o'clock. So I read until 3, feeling like a child having the third piece of candy. Greedy but satisfied.